6:44 on your Monday morning. Kevin Martell back for Greg Morgan for another couple days. Hey, hopefully all the dads out there had a good Father's Day yesterday. It was a beautiful day in Regina yesterday. Wind was barely moving. It wasn't really smoky. You could actually see the blue in the sky. Yeah, that was here. Or Saturday, things got a little stormy, as we're learning this morning from Environment Canada's Dan Fulton.
We're still looking into, there was actually quite a few reports from the weekend. The Colville one, we haven't officially confirmed it yet, but I'm going to say that one's pretty highly probable that it did touch down. There's a nice picture of it, and it looks like it's awfully close to the ground, so probably do something officially with that later today.
Of course, he's talking about tornadoes. That's north of Kindersley, also north of Kindersley.
There was a second one near Reward a little bit later, about an hour later. That one, we have to look into a bit more.
Yeah, that's not all.
There was also a couple tornadoes reported north of Saskatoon on Saturday. One near Hepburn and one near Alvina around, let's say, mid to late afternoon. Both of those are we're going to call probable right now. Just going to go over and make sure everything matches up there. But we also had some reports of associated with those storms. It was actually just one storm that kind of just tracked along north of Saskatoon. We also had reports of golf ball hail, local flooding, and some trees snapped. So a pretty powerful storm that went north of Saskatoon on Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah, so four in all tornadoes are possible. We've been getting a bit of much-needed rain here. Had a bit over the weekend. Woke up this morning, the driveway was wet. And as you've been hearing in the forecast, we could be getting some more rain. Pretty good chance of it later today and as well tonight. Same with those up north. They had rain over the weekend, where the wildfire situation continues to improve. More people are going home. And that is nice to see. LaRonge, for example, Aironge. People have been going back to those communities. Candle Lake, where they didn't have a mandatory evacuation. It was a voluntary one. They wanted people to get out while they could before that massive shoe fire got out of control. And then it created a kind of a situation, a more urgent situation. So those who had left Canada, like the resort village, can now return. Somebody else on the road? The Riders? Yeah, they're now 2-0 after a 28-23 win over Hamilton.
Well, I thought it was a terrific game.
A great win. I'm not going to complain about that. We weren't at our best, but when the game mattered, we won.
Yeah, fans calling into the Green Zone post-game show. That's what they had to say. Of course, the Green Zone was live at Boston Pizza, Acre 21, for a watch, Riders and Oilers party, a double party. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, it went to Florida.
Lost arena, clears for the empty net, score! And that silences the crowd here in Edmonton.
Yeah, it sure did. 5-2 win from this past Saturday for Florida. It was a game in which the Panthers had a couple three-goal leads at various times. I still don't think anyone totally thought the Oilers were out of it. After all, they did come back from three goals down against Florida earlier in this series. But you can't get down to a team as good as Florida and expect to come back all the time. You can't always be playing from behind. After all, they are the defending Stanley Cup champion. Now, with one more win, they will repeat as champs. Edmonton is facing something they haven't faced at all during these playoffs, and that is an elimination game. We talked to Oiler fans here in Saskatchewan after this most recent loss.
I think it's going to bring some confidence.
They've been down before. We saw it last year.
Now, some remain hopeful. Others, not so much.
Not really confident. Kind of more nervous than anything.
I'm not that confident. That kind of killed my confidence this game.
Yeah, game 6 goes tomorrow back in Florida. The Panthers can win it in front of their home crowd again. And if necessary, if the Oilers can pull it off in Florida and force a game 7, that would be back in Edmonton on Friday. On your Monday morning, back after Father's Day, and hopefully you had a fantastic weekend with Dad, or perhaps remembering Dad. Joined now by Andrew Shepherd, who is still a relatively new dad. What did you do yesterday? Did you have a dad nap?
Oh boy, did I have a dad nap. Yes, I did. I was tired. But I had a good day. Woke up. My wife made some waffles for us. I had some. We had a new waffle maker, so we had that with some whipped cream and fresh fruit. That was delicious. And some bacon on the side, so that was good. And then, I took my daughter to the park. It was a nice warm day. Went there. She's about 19 months old, and she went down the slide unassisted for the first time.
Nice.
Just had a catch her at the end there. So that was a cool dad milestone, I guess. And yeah, just kind of hung out with family.
Of course, you were a little bit tired because you were overwatching the Riders and Oilers. So we did a little watch party at the Martell household.
Yeah,
we were flipping back and forth between the two. The Riders win. We'll start there. But there was a lot of, let's call it, criticism when it comes to Brett Lauther's foot.
Yeah, he missed three field goal attempts, and we were like, the first one, it was, oh no, he missed. And then the second one was, oh, he missed again. And by the third, are you kidding me?
Yeah. There was some renewed calls from being like, get him out. And then my girlfriend was like, well, I kind of feel bad for him. So I don't know. But they won. Nevertheless, they won. This has happened to him before. Last season, he had at least one rough game.
Four missed, and he came back,
and he played well for the rest of the season. So I guess you could argue, get it out of the way now.
Yeah, get it out.
And not in the playoffs if the Riders make the playoffs. Oilers win. They need to win now. They lost over the weekend, but now it's do or die for them tomorrow night in Florida.
Yeah, game six in Florida, going back, trailing, what would that be, 3-2 now is the series for Florida, and you just can't trail in the series, you can't trail in a game against Florida. Maybe you can come back down 3-0 in the first period, one game. Can you do it all the time? I don't know. I think the luck's running out. I don't know.
It's tough, and for the first time, as we've been talking about, this is Edmonton's, this is an elimination game for them. The first time during these playoffs that they've had that. So again, game number six goes tomorrow. In your newscast this morning, talking about a big meeting just next door to us, G7 Leader Summit.
Yeah, all the leaders are landing in Calgary, and then they're going to drive to Kananaskis, just west of Calgary, for the G7 Summit, including President Donald Trump. He landed last night. His plane landed at the Calgary airport. Not the warmest of welcome in some areas. I think it wasn't at the airport, but downtown at City Hall. A lot of protesters protesting his arrival there with some, let's call them anti-American signs there, especially with his threats to annex and trade war.
Here's some of what the protesters are saying.
We're not interested. Hopefully they'll see it and know that even an old granny has got the balls to get up and say, go away, Trump. We don't want you here.
Yeah, so certainly some people, as we've been talking about, maybe don't want him. So he'll be here, and he's meeting with, the Prime Minister a little bit later today. Also in the news, a development here, and this is new, in the Air India crash, one that's hitting closer to home for us.
Yeah, we're learning that there's a man who lived in Regina. It doesn't sound like he was a Canadian citizen because we know there was only one on the plane. So it doesn't sound like he's a Canadian citizen, but lived in Regina. And there's a GoFundMe. He was a father, two young girls. Apparently he was on the plane visiting family or having, for personal reasons, the GoFundMe says that he was in India. And it also says he was the sole breadwinner for the family. So
that's crushing.
So that's why they're kind of doing the GoFundMe there.
Yeah, that's crushing for, for the Regina community, obviously. It always seems to hit close to home, even halfway around the world. Andrew Shepherd is back in a couple minutes for the 7 o'clock news. CJME News time is now 6:56. Up at 14, former England football captain David Beckham, Oscar-winning actor Gary Oldman, and the Who frontman Roger Daltrey have just been awarded knighthoods. You can call them Sir David Beckham, Sir Gary Oldman, Sir Roger Daltrey. Hey, over the weekend, you might have noticed it might have been a bit slow moving in the city, because thousands just took in the Queen City Pride Parade.
I'm queer, and I've never been to one of these before. I'm from a small town, so this is really exciting for me, and my friends have been here, so I just wanted to come along.
Yeah, those like Kai Schmidt marched from downtown and made their way near the legislature for more activities this past Saturday. Reese Cardinal has been going to this since the 90s.
When I first started, there was maybe 50 people in the parade.
Yeah, he can't believe how big things have gotten now.
Never, ever did I ever think it would look like this.
Elsewhere from over the weekend, of course, the Riders are now 2-0 after a win over Hamilton. But it's not necessarily what we're focusing on the field with this morning. It's off the field. And you think feeding teenagers is expensive? Try feeding the entire Riders offensive line. 980 CJME's Brittany Cafe is finding out exactly what it takes and what it costs to keep Saskatchewan's biggest athletes game day ready.
There's big, there's football player big, and then there's Saskatchewan Rough Riders offensive line big. These are the men that head coach Corey Mace affectionately refers to as hogs, and they don't earn that title by skipping meals.
You want those hogs up front to move the bodies. You know, if we can make it easier for those backs in the run game and to be able to create space for them without them having contact, yeah, you need a bigger body to do that.
When you break it down to brass tacks, the O-line's job is fairly simple. They need to protect the quarterback. If you want to do that, you need to be big. And these guys tell me that if you want to be big, you need to eat. Daniel Johnson starts his day off with a breakfast plate that resembles Mount Everest.
Potatoes, eggs, sausages, just mix that all up and then have some yogurt. Dates and nuts.
And Jacob Brammer, he's clearing out egg cartons like it's a competitive sport.
I go through 30 a week.
If you think that's extreme, Logan Furland doesn't just eat eggs, he drinks them.
Raw eggs, I can like mix them with my smoothie. That's 6 raw eggs.
Now, eating 6,000 calories a day, nearly triple the average person's intake, doesn't come easy or cheap.
Not including supplements, I'm at least 1,000 a month. Spend more on groceries than rent.
And a buffet hates to see these guys coming.
I'll usually wait to the back of the line so there's some left. Otherwise, they get low mat.
Brammer tells me that his appetite has become a bit of a family legend. The food never lasts long when he's around.
They're like, okay, now we got to make more. Jacob's coming.
It's not just about packing in calories. It's about making those calories count. They try to eat clean, whole foods as much as they can. But Johnson admits that even the most disciplined players have their weak spots.
I try not to get packaged stuff. I try not to. But, you know, like the snacks, I love food sensations. That's my go-to.
When you have to be big to do your job, eating isn't really optional. It's expected.
Throughout the season, it's like you dread having to, like, every time you sit down, you're like, all right, I should probably have something in my hand.
It does become a chore for sure, but at the same time, when I'm ready to be done and retired and hang up the cleats, it's going to suck to stop eating because I love my food. Like, it's nice to be able to, as an old lineman, to be able to eat pretty much whatever you want because we're burning so many calories. So that has a nice part to it.
These are big guys with big appetites and even bigger hearts. Just don't get between them and a buffet. In Regina, I'm Brittany Cafe, 980 CJME.
Oh, 722 on your Monday morning. Kevin Martell in again today and tomorrow. Greg Morgan returns on Wednesday, joined now by Evan Brain. Can you imagine? So our Brittany Cafe has a story this morning about Rough Riders O-linemen eating and what they actually eat. 6,000 calories a day, $1,000 a month on food. That's just for one person, although I was joking. $1,000 a month on food? What's that? A couple bags? A couple bags of groceries now? Can you imagine eating that? And that's your job, remember, too.
Yeah, that's like, right. That's... You can call it job description if you want.
Professional eater and blocker. Yeah. So you went to the Oilers game.
I was going to say, I didn't spend $1,000 a month on groceries, but I did spend that on a ticket to a hockey game that greatly disappointed me.
It's too bad.
Nothing like an 8-hour round or like a 16-hour round trip drive to Edmonton. Going there, we were excited. I had my son, a couple of his buddies with me, pumped up. We got to the game. Like, Kevin, you can't even imagine how many people there were. 20,000 get into the rink to watch the game. But there was at least double that outside.
Wow.
People were showing up, dressed up. You could count. I literally could count on one or two hands. Prior to the game, the number of Florida jerseys I saw. I mean, it was all Oilers, and people were pumped up, and we want the cup chants.
All disappointment.
By the end of the second period, like, I looked at the three I was with. It looked like they were crying. Like it literally did. Oh, yeah. They had their heads down. They were more people were checking the score in the Ryder game on their phone than watching the end of the second period of that game. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, we've been talking about it this morning, and like it's not like Edmonton hasn't come back, you know, three goals down from Florida before, but how many times can you put yourself in that position where you constantly play from behind and expect to win against a team that is the defending Stanley Cup champion?
Look, Florida is the better team. Like they are. I mean, I feel bad even saying that. I want the Oilers to win, but the Oilers have not shown that they're the better team. Even the games that they've been able to win in this series were, you know, I mean, the double overtime win, like good wins, but at the end of the day, sorry, it was not a double. It was a single overtime win in that last game. But look, they can still win. I hope that they win. I want the Oilers to win, but I'm telling you, after what I saw on Saturday night, now they've got a win in Florida. It can be done, but they need a different team. They need a different mentality. They got to beat Florida to the puck. They got to finish checks. They got to complete passes. Like, Kevin, I could go on. Well, I mean, anybody that watched the game saw what happened. It's just I was one of the lucky ones that paid hundreds of dollars to sit in the stands and watch it.
Evan Bray with me this morning. Hey, let's stay in Alberta, but go down to Kananaskis and this big G7 leader summit. And I can't imagine, Evan, and you could probably speak to this to some degree, the amount of security that you would have for this in the air, everybody on the ground, like just so many people working to make sure that people like President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Mark Carney and all the other leaders here are kept safe.
Well, in 2002, they had the G8 summit there, and I was actually there as part of, we supplemented with about 25 police officers from Regina.
My dad was there as well, RCMP.
Maybe I would have bumped into him. So yeah, we got posted to different, in many ways, supplemented the Calgary Police Service because they were decimated in moving people to Kananaskis. So it was a really good experience, but it did give you a bit of a sense of the level of security. I do find it kind of funny that no protesters can go to Kananaskis, but they can protest in Calgary and they're live streaming it onto a TV. Like I'm like, well, I don't know how successful that's going to be, but
is anything going to come out of this, do you think?
Well, I'm more interested in what Trump and Carney talk about this morning prior to the meeting. Yeah. Like to me, like many meetings, and I've been involved in these throughout my policing career, sometimes it's less about what's accomplished at the meeting table and more about what happens at lunchtime or over supper. Some of these sidebar conversations are where you build relationships and hopefully can turn the corner. So I'm going to remain hopeful that we can enhance our trade relationship with the states and maybe even take a step closer to removing some of the tariffs.
What's coming up on the show today?
Well, we've got Bill Graveland first thing this morning, Canadian press reporter who's covering the G7 summit. So we've got that. Also, departing from that, roundtable of justice today. A couple times a year, I like to bring in traffic cops.
Yes.
Because you know, you just open up the phone lines and say, have you got a question? Well, with summertime approaching and the number of people on the roads right now, it's been 6 months since we've done a roundtable segment on traffic safety. Yep. So that's happening today at 10 o'clock.
Evan Bray is back just after the 8:30 news this morning.